You've waited until the last minute to celebrate Valentine's Day, haven't you?
Uh-oh.
We'll help.
Time to head into the dark room on your iPad?
It's time for iOS Today!
What?
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
iOS Today is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Protect your online activity today for an extra 3 months free with a one-year package. Go to expressvpn.com/iOS today. And by WordPress. Turn your dreams into reality and launch your website at wordpress.com. Get 15% off any new plan at wordpress.com/twit. And by Aftershocks. Unbelievably comfortable open-ear headphones. Hear music and crystal-clear phone calls like never before. Visit iostoday.aftershocks.com. Use the code iostoday. You'll save $50 off the tech bundle. So, if you're Chrissy... And he's Mr. Feely.
Oh, come on. Do I have to be Mr. Feely?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to iOS Today. I'm Leo Laporte. I'll let them sort out who they are.
Was his name really Mr. Feely?
No, that's another show.
Mr. McFeely, was it?
I don't know.
Remember. But either way, I don't want to be Mr. Feely. I'm
Mr. Jason Roper.
No, Mr. Roper. Mr. Roper.
Mr. McFeely was in Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers. It's
still
very confusing.
Kind of weird.
Yeah. Mr. Feely, I don't know what weird corners of my mind that came from. That's Megan. There he is. That's Megan Maroney, not Mr. Feely or McFeely. And weirdly enough, there's a tall guy in the middle.
Yeah.
Have you decided, Megan, to bring your enforcer?
I did, yeah. I needed a buffer.
I'm a wall.
I felt like...
I'm a literal wall between you
with
two.
With a confrontation that I wanted to have with you today, then I thought Jason would be a good third party.
Jason Howell plays...
It's an intervention today. I will be mediating.
Jason Howell plays Switzerland on today's episode of iOS Today. Actually, there's a reason Jason Howell from All About Android and this Tech News Weekly is here. Why?
Every January, we do a switch of our devices. So as you probably noticed the last few weeks, I was using his Pixel Slate-y thing.
You're not anymore, though.
It looks like Jason got the worst of it. This is the first generation iPad mini.
Hi, little guy.
It's so
small, but it
has a nice wooden case.
Yeah.
Fitting.
And well, you want to see this? What this wooden case really has on it, go ahead and show the overhead shot.
Yeah.
It has.
It's got my...
Your name on it.
I branded it, Leo. Yeah.
So every time I use this ancient iPad mini, I think of you, Leo.
Actually, that's the name of the iPad mini. It's the Leo.
What if it were just an iPad Pro, but it looked so small because Jason's so tall?
That's true. I mean, my hands are gigantic.
He's gigantic.
So
it's not fair.
Yeah.
It's not fair. The biggest guy here has the smallest.
It's okay. You know what? This is the iPad that I have and that I use with any sort of regularity, which is not very often.
This is more your kids, I would guess, though, right?
No, actually, they don't either. They use Android tablets when they're tableting. This has really just kind of become my device that I use with music software that only works on an iPad. And then, you know, random things here at Twit as things happen on iPad.
It's terrible. Good
to have the ability to hop in and check it out.
It's so old, it has a headphone jack.
It does.
Wow. Has a headphone jack, and it's not updated to iOS 12.
Oh, you better do that.
I'm going to wait until after the show.
In fact, a public service announcement before we get going. We're going to do our Valentine's Day episode. And by the way, Megan, perfect dress for that.
Thank you.
But public service, you should update to 12.1.4. I'm sure you all have, Jason. Hurry.
Let's see here.
Because not only does that fix the group FaceTime bug, it fixes 3 0-days that were discovered by the Google... security experts and Apple rushed to get that out. So it's a good thing to update.
I would like to update, but all it does is the setting is spinning and it says update requested. And apparently
Apple
it does not want
you.
Yes.
Your update is important to us.
Oh, wait a minute. You're that Android guy.
Yeah.
You're going to wait until the end.
Right, yeah.
Until literally everyone else in the world
has it. You're used to waiting for updates. They're like,
true.
He has patience. He's
this
built
is normal
up his patience.
To me. This is totally normal.
So do you want to report on the outcome of your great swap this year, or is that not for this show?
No, this is going to be for this show after we do Valentine's Day.
Let's do Valentine's Day first.
Love is most important.
Yeah, love is more important.
Now, we should point out that Jason and Megan are not married. This is not
contrary to popular belief.
When a man and a woman appear together,
they're not always there.
They think I'm your grandfather, so that tells you something.
Leo.
So Valentine's Day, it is last minute because Valentine's Day is Thursday.
It really is last minute. Did you already get a gift for Lisa?
No, I didn't. So I might need
change the subject.
Okay, good.
What we usually do is get one of those edible arrangements. They're just around the corner and I can run in.
Yeah.
Instead of flowers, fruit, chocolate dipped strawberries, a little teddy bear.
Oh, okay, I thought you were talking about a different type of edible. Apologies. I was like, wow.
Flowers are always Valentine's good, too. Day. In fact, Valentine's Day is often the last minute thing. You get a box of candy, you get flowers, you get a teddy bear, something like that.
Do you ever write something out, something heartfelt?
I think that's probably a good idea.
Yeah, a poem.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's too late to do that because I don't actually write. I do it through a service. Mm. And I think they probably can't do a rush for Thursday.
So you type it out. You don't write.
I will show you that. Actually, for next year, this is something probably everybody should know about. It's a iPhone app, so I'm gonna zoom it out. Next time. So... I showed this before. In fact, I sent you a heartfelt note, didn't I, Megan Maroney?
And I loved it.
It uses something called an auto pen to make things that might fool people into thinking they were actually handwritten. Did it fool you when you got yours?
Yeah, I thought it was handwritten because
they're using real ink. It's not printed.
Oh,
see that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Your handwriting looks nothing like that.
And do the letters have subtle differences? Like
you have different
lowercase ends aren't going to look exactly the same.
Let me go into the note. First of all, they do have Valentine's. They have designer models of all kinds, and they do have Valentine's as well. You can also personalize it with a photo. So I have a. Kind of, if I log in, I'll show you my custom. I could do it on my iPhone, but it's just probably a little small. And then, this is romantic. A pencil.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nothing says I love you like a bunch of pencils.
So then you write, write anything you want. Blah, 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 blah. And then heartfelt, isn't it? And then you see the handwriting styles? I could do different handwriting styles. Okay. Bedford. Gansfurt, Fulton. So you can pick one. They really do look pretty real. You could pick one that looks kind of like you might have actually written it. That looks kind of like my handwriting. Actually, that's most like my handwriting.
Yeah, that does look like
it. So is the goal to trick someone that you actually wrote it when you did?
Well, it kind of looks like you did. I mean, on the back it says Bond, and if they're sophisticated, they might
look it up
understand.
And be like, oh, okay.
But the problem is, I think it's too late even for this.
Yeah.
You would have had to do it last week. They
Better
mail
late
them.
Than never.
They
Better
mail
late
it.
Than never.
Yeah. And you could just mail it and say, oh, you didn't get my card yet?
Oh
gosh, I put so much effort into it.
My love for you is in the mail.
But it's a good thing. I pay $5 a month, and for that I get, I think, a card a month. An additional card's like $4. They pay the postage. It's expensive. Although, if you think what note paper and costs and the
postage.
Time that you have to use stretching your fingers to make them work again with a pen.
You
like
have
hours.
A special pen over there. You have a notebook. You
I actually do handwrite stuff.
Yeah, now you do. So, yeah.
And I even have, I got special note, letterpress printed note cards that say, from the desk of the chief twit, which probably most people think, what the hell is this? I went to Crane, the big stationery company. They'll do letterpress. So I have thousands of them. So one of these days, I'm going to write you a thank you note.
You need a reason to use them.
I'm waiting.
Yeah.
I have something that you're not too late for.
Oh, thank God.
Would you like for Valentine's Day a FaceTime call from a baby alpaca?
Who wouldn't? Really?
Can I get a sample of that?
Okay, so Love Panchita. Okay, so this is through Marriott. So if you do this, you're giving Marriott your email address and your phone number, so they'll keep contacting you forever. But it's worth
it. But there's
it.
A real alpaca.
Yeah, so in Peru, they have this baby alpaca called Panchita, and she's adorable, and she greets all their guests at this hotel.
Oh, at the Marriott.
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
And if you submit your request, you have to do it by 5 o'clock today. That's the 12th, so... Mm-hmm. You submit your request. You have to say, like, the relationship to you. So
does
I sent
talk?
One to you. She does not talk.
You know, it really does. I don't know.
That
if
would
this,
be cool.
I don't know if this is just all alpacas, but if you show that screenshot real quick, Kevin, it almost looks like this alpaca is ready to give you a kiss.
Yeah.
No, they all look that way.
They all, like, their lips are all puckered.
The way you could tell a llama from an alpaca, because they look fairly similar on cursory examination, is the alpaca looks super cute.
Yeah. That's true.
Wait. No, really.
So given the choice, be an alpaca.
The alpaca will kiss you. The llama will spit at you. Yeah.
That's another way to tell. If you're not in person, all alpacas have these really cute little faces.
Yeah.
They're adorable.
Uh-huh. They are.
So if it's adorable, it's probably not a llama.
Yeah. Okay. So that's not an app, but go to lovepanchita.com and you can get a FaceTime call. And maybe, if you haven't updated yet, then you don't even have to answer the FaceTime call, and the panchita will just listen to your conversation.
Oh, that's true. So cool. I could definitely pull that off with this iPad mini that I've got.
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah, definitely.
That I haven't updated.
You know, there are a lot of stickers, too, online. And I don't want to do the normal sticker routine. Yeah. I want to do something a little more fun and sophisticated. So I sent you a sticker.
You sure
from
did.
Hogs and Kisses. Let me send you another Hogs and Kisses. Oh. These are like all sticker packs, 99 cents. Mm-hmm. They're definitely Valentine's. In fact, the one I sent you said Happy Valentine's Day. I mean, look, I'll be there in 30 running late. I said that
at
9 o'clock, so I didn't even make that. Did I? But how about a sweaty pig? Kissing a less sweaty pig.
The fleshy pig tones in this sticker pack are slightly unsettling.
Yeah. Isn't that cute?
I love it.
Or I don't know what's going on here, but it looks like pig love.
Yeah.
He's dreaming of a pig. There's something about pigs and love. They just go together, don't you think?
Oh, pigs at the movies.
Watching a 3D movie.
Yeah.
That's like the future right there.
It seems like it should show me how to get that sticker pack, right?
I mean, well, it should, but it doesn't. But all you have to do is search for hogs
and kisses, 99 cents.
And kisses. Hog. How about, and some of them are just normal, like chocolate dipped strawberry, although that's a particularly hoggy looking star. Mm-hmm. I mean, that strawberry, show my strawberry. That's
dripped.
Delicious. Delicious. Yeah. Valentine. These are all hand drawn, they look cute. Look, if you go and search, wait a minute, there's a pig key to my heart and a pig cupcake. If you go and look for Valentine's stickers, you'll find literally dozens of choices, but I decided to go with Hogs and Kisses.
That's sweet.
Whoa, you're going to send a Valentine Memoji?
Yeah, I sent.
A Halloween Memoji.
Yeah.
Is this your reaction to my Hogs and
That's
Kisses?
My reaction, yeah.
Let me just check in.
Think we should do this whole show in Memoji at one point.
Wow.
All right, you had a Valentine. Okay, no, now it's my turn. It's my turn.
Your turn.
My turn. Here's one that you also don't have to. You can do it up until the night of.
That's good.
Hotel Tonight. Do you ever use Hotel Tonight?
No.
You don't?
No, I don't. Is
have
it
you
good?
Ever used it?
I know about it. Yeah.
I've never used it.
So Hotel Tonight is you can just find a hotel that's discounted.
Tonight.
Because the leftover rooms.
You can only get it tonight. That's the reason.
Yes. So we have this Sonoma County where I want to go to Petaluma. I can slide to unlock my deal. This you can only do this once a day, and that's a special deal.
Once a day,
is
you get
it
a special
really
deal?
Special?
Well, I don't know.
How special?
The Hotel Petaluma, $105. How much does it normally cost to stay in the Hotel Petaluma?
$6.
This is the daily drop. I would imagine that the Hotel Petaluma is more expensive than that, but that would be a nice thing to do. Just
if you're coming to Petaluma, definitely stay there. Yeah. They have a lovely lobby. Yeah. It's really nice. The Shuckery restaurant there is very good.
The Metro Hotel, $109.
Yeah.
The Bancroft Inn of Sonoma, have you ever been there?
Never been there.
El Dorado Hotel?
So they tell you, unlike Priceline, they'll tell you the name of the hotel.
This is confusing. The Best Western is $135, and the Hotel Petaluma is only $105.
Well, do not stay at the Best Western in Petaluma. I'm just saying.
But that one is the one closest to the studio, right?
The Motel 6 is just around the corner.
Oh, Motel 6. That's the Motel 6. Okay. The Gage House. I've always wanted to stay here.
Gage House is amazing.
It's $189. You guys should go. I'll take your kids.
$189 tonight?
Yeah. I'll take your kids. They can stay at my house.
You're already on all that Android tonight, so do you mind?
Yeah, that's true.
Do you mind hosting?
Is this how it works?
Yes.
We're out of here. Gage House is amazing.
It's a really good deal, and you don't have to have planned ahead. That's the point. It rewards you guys who haven't planned ahead. So, and I would use it now because they're in talks to be bought by Airbnb, so you don't know what's going to happen to them.
Everybody's getting bought.
No kidding.
So, everybody. So, you see this thing I'm using here? I thought I'd show you.
Oh, yeah.
This Jason Snell recommended this on MacBreak Weekly. And I actually, I'm going to call this my Valentine's Day for Lisa, present for Lisa, because I did get two of them. I don't dare buy something like this without getting two of them. It's an iPad stand. Look at that. And unfortunately, it only does it in portrait mode for the giant one. I think with your mini, you could do it in any mode you want.
Yeah,
but
so.
It stretches pretty wide, but not quite wide enough to do a landscape mode.
That was close.
I thought it was going to fall off.
Yeah.
But you can put your phone in there, too.
Yeah, your phone. So if you, and it goes up and down. You can make it higher.
Have you been enjoying it?
I have been enjoying it. and one of the reasons I've used it now, by the way, I'll find out the name of this and tell you in a little bit.
Yeah, it's very unmarked.
It's unmarked. It's pristine. But these are nice and soft rubber and stuff. But the reason I'm using this is to show you, if you're alone this Valentine's Day, we got to remember some people will not have a Valentine.
Well, you could stay in a hotel by yourself.
If they're
That's
lucky.
Awesome too.
Yeah, hotel tonight.
You and are your own Valentine.
And this is a Valentine's Day escape room game.
Oh.
How about that?
I love it.
You're stuck in a little chocolate shop. Wait a minute. Let me plug in
this
sound.
So this is called V-Day App Escape Game.
Escape
or just Escape
Game. Shall we? It's just Valentine's Day Escape Game.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't like that, so I'm going to... Don't allow... No. Okay. Yes, yes. We're gonna start a new escape room. Actually, it's the only escape room. Look at all the ads. Wow.
Does holy it give you an option to get
just
rid
put
of
some
them?
Tape over the top and bottom bezels?
Yeah. Okay, tap to choose items and check suspicious places. Double tap to enlarge items. We're in a... You could use items to enlarge items. Also, enjoy BGM and sound effects. What is BGM? I don't know.
Background music.
Oh, you speak Chinese. You can adjust the volume from the menu. Okay, so let's take notes. Okay. Fine. I apologize.
Have you ever used an app before?
I have never.
Because this is called an application.
I have never used
it's
an
actually
application.
A game.
Okay, now you can zoom in. Yeah. So we're in a, look at that. That's cute. We're in a candy shop. So I can double tap. Oh, here's a puzzle. One candy, one favor, one lollipop.
What doesn't belong?
No.
You've just requested two gingerbread.
Oh, you're asking for this.
Oh, this is bad. I don't know how to get out of this. Let's. Am I going to? Oh.
Are you putting them in the Instapot?
I could put them in the Instapot. Maybe I should do that. Or on the plate.
Oh, okay.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, you
look at that. You're serving yourself tons of delightful
have
treats.
Some delightful
don't
treats.
You feel special right now?
Oh, look at that. I don't know if a gingerbread man. Oh. Oh, the pot's done. Place. Maybe I should count them now. I've got. No. Oh, try to remember. I can't. Oh, no.
This
get
is
out
a
of
fun.
Get out
are
here.
You supposed three. To
this is fun.
A lollipop. There's no vegetables. No vegetables. Okay. I got three of those. I got zero of those, right? How do I go backwards? Oh, I see. No.
You just got to reset
anyway,
it. This
okay.
is delightful.
Do you want a hint? Yes. Oh, and I have to watch a movie.
All right. You are so lucky. This Valentine's Day is the best day ever.
If you're alone on Valentine's Day, I'm just sorry.
You have a companion in all of the ads that you will see.
Don't you hate it when games do that?
Should we save yours best for last, or do you want to go now?
Oh, can I just mention something?
Yes, please.
Hotels Tonight, by the way, non-member price through their website, $129 is the starting price.
At the Gage House?
The Hotel Petaluma.
So
that was your special deal.
$20. Yeah.
Save
$20. $20.
Not bad.
Go ahead and buy yourself a fine meal.
Yeah. Okay. And so I told Jason I would watch his kids, but obviously everyone
that's
knew
a
I was
nice
lying
Valentine
about
gift.
That, right?
Oh, okay. <You know>?
That's my thing I do.
I've already sent the message to my wife. So
his daughters are the sweetest daughters ever. You will have fun.
You have so much fun.
But the truth is he doesn't really trust me with them. So he should use this app, Care.com.
Did
you ever use Care.com?
Never used it, but I've heard of it.
So Care.com
wait a minute. No, you know what? We have used
did
Care.com.
Did you get a babysitter?
We did get a babysitter through Care. This was probably a couple of years ago.
And it worked?
They were good?
Yes, it worked. Our children were still alive when we came home.
I think Patrick and Sved have also gotten babysitters off here. But it's not just for babysitting. You can do pet sitting if you need to go out. Let's say your Valentine is your pup, and the hotel that you found on Hotel Tonight doesn't allow for pets. You can get a pet sitter while you treat yourself to a hotel. So senior care, also something you might need if you're going out on a date. Or housekeeping, which this is a nice gift for if you if your partner is the one that does most of the housekeeping, your Valentine that does most of the housekeeping, get some help housekeeping help. I have never heard a negative story about care.com. They do a lot of, you know, they do background checks and everything. Whereas opposed to like, oh, my friend's friend could babysit you. You know, that they don't do background checks. I do give recommendations to Jason of my friend's friends, and I
don't
background check them. So
you are like my own personal care.
I am your own personal care.com. And there's a whole one for date night. This is nice. This is a flat rate for 4 hours. So that
like
is
that.
Nice. $40 for 4 hours.
Wow.
I mean, that's what you're asking for. Like maybe if you're willing to pay $60, you might get someone better.
Oh, I see. So you're kind of putting the call out there and being like, right. Hey, do we have any takers?
Which that's nice agreeing beforehand because you never really know. And then having decided what it's going to be beforehand is great because, you know, you sometimes come home from a date and you're like, oh, thank you so much. I'm so grateful. Here's $100 for those 2 hours.
It's all I have. I didn't stop at the bank. Sorry.
And it's you can do comfortable with pets.
Yeah.
And the activities that include. So if you want a caregiver that will feed dinner, bath time, bedtime, or kids will already be asleep, that's also. So it's
how
really
old
great.
Do you have to be to get elder sitting?
I think you could probably use it now.
Okay. I'm just checking.
Lucky.
I'd like an elder sitter. Well, that and when you said dating, and I have to say, during my research for the show yesterday, I did, in fact, look at all the dating apps online.
Good.
I didn't download any because had I downloaded any, that might be suspicious.
Yeah. Gotta be careful.
What surprised me is how many one night stand dating apps
really?
There are.
Really? In the App Store?
In the Apple App Store,
how
there's
you know there one night
hookup dating app. There's Cougar dating mature women.
Ooh.
There's one night hookup dating. There's POF. My favorite is Coffee Meets Bagel dating app. Yeah. There's the, you know, names you know, like OkCupid and Match and Bumble.
Coffee Meets Bagel is not a hookup.
No. I'm not saying they're all hookups. No. In fact, well, it just depends what you're looking for. There's Hylee, best new dating app, chat and meet singles.
I wonder if these apps see a bump in usage on Valentine's Day specifically. That's like,
I bet they do.
Day, I don't have a date tonight. Yeah.
Wait, did you just download one?
By accident, yeah.
By accident.
There are more adult affair finder. I'm surprised Apple allows this. What's interesting, they're also dating games. And I would bet with teenagers who are just getting into the dating world that this would be an interesting thing. A 25-year-old concierge at a top-class hotel in Japan, the Royal Shining. Not a great name for a hotel. I'm just saying. Are the protagonist in this story. All your hard work until now has been evaluated. Clearly a Japanese game. And you've finally been assigned as the exclusive concierge to the suite room. So you have...
Skip down to the sadistic brothers determined to dominate you are...
Yeah, because who are you going to take orders from? The sadistic brothers or the eldest son or the owner of the Japanese branch of the hotel? Toma, I would listen to. So there's a number of sadistic people in this. That's the sadistic paragraph.
That sounds fun.
Then there's Minami, who was born and raised in the USA. She's living the American dream. May Tarantino. Again, this is very culturally confusing to me.
Yeah.
He's a world-renowned pianist, a mix of Italy and Japan. The young financial... Anyway, this sounds kind of interesting. I don't know. I'm not in the market, but there's quite a few interesting, literally pages of interesting wild hookup and meet, right?
You're speechless.
I'm speechless. So there are the ones you've seen advertised, and then there are the ones you haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised that Apple has these in the App Store. That would be quite a moral judgment they would have to
they
make.
They make those judgments
a
lot. I don't... Yeah, I guess not. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love story. Magical princess dating. That's the one I want.
It looks magical.
I'll give you that. Magical. So
should I go with one?
Yeah, you go.
Okay.
You go.
It's getting worse as I scroll down. You might want to move.
That's another sweet gift you get for your
some,
wife.
Some strange results there. So I don't know, actually, like, I think in my mind I was like, yes, this is a great Valentine's Day solution, mm-hmm. but it's not really a very good last minute one, but maybe I've figured my way around that. Okay. Stella and Dot. Have you ever heard of Stella and Dot?
I have. I have a Stella and Dot necklace that Stacey also has.
Actually, yes.
You did not get the one that I got.
That was very surprising to me because yes. I had ordered one and then I think I saw you wearing it. I was like, hey, wait a minute. Yes. We shopped at the same place. No, I did not. contrary, again, to popular belief. Stella and Dot is a really great kind of like jewelry fashion kind of store that has a lot of, at least for my wife anyways, the aesthetic works really well for her. And it's kind of stuff that you're not going to find necessarily walking into a store like Macy's or whatever. It's all sold through Stella and Dot. Apparently they have some sort of like some marketing, you know, where someone who wants to sell this can actually get like a trunk and sell it.
A pyramid scam.
Is that what they're called? Thank you.
Well, it is. The company is very highly successful and it was started by like a very smart woman. The reason I have that necklace and the reason I've ever bought anything from Stella and Dot is that I got guilted into going to a party,
Tupperware
party, and then I feel like I have to buy something.
Okay.
So
you bought that necklace while you were there and you're like, okay, this is my guilt necklace.
Yes. I love the necklace.
It is a nice necklace. I mean,
but so you've never been, you just found it online and started buying or did you get guilted in?
I can't remember the first time how I did it because I've shopped from there multiple times and often for like Valentine's Day just because I like the stuff and then I give it to Stacey and she's like, oh, this is really great. So it's like, it's one of those moments where like my taste and her taste, like we met, you know, and I was like, okay, great. I didn't buy you something that you don't like. I can't remember the first time that I did it, but eventually I found a friend of Stacy's on Facebook who mentioned it. I was like, oh, hey, you sell for them. And so then I just started buying through her. So I'm not too familiar with that side
of
things.
You've never been to a Stella Dot
I've never
party.
Been to a trunk sale party. Okay. Definitely not. But I like what I find on there. And they do have like e-gift cards that you can send.
That's probably so better because it's short notice.
Exactly. Right, so that's how I figured I'd tie it in. I've shopped here a number of times and found some really great things. If you're looking for something different that might appeal to your significant other, check it out and then get an e-gift card. And I think they sell up to like $250 or whatever. And, you know, it's emailed. It's not the most romantic thing to get a gift card emailed to you, but it's the thought that counts.
I found a dating app just for you, Megan.
Great.
It's called Uniform. Do you wear a uniform in your job or just love people in uniform? Then you're welcome to try the Uniform dating app created specifically for those who wear uniforms or are looking for a date who wears a uniform.
Your love is looking for you, and it's wearing a suit.
For many years, wore a McDonald's uniform. I don't think that's what they're talking about, but it could be.
Could be.
I don't know.
Could be.
No reason. Not.
Yeah. Uniform for people in uniform and the people who love them. I am still going through this and blown away. Farmers only. This is a dating app for farmers. Okay. It's a different kind of uniform, but you know.
Yeah.
Seeking nature, seeking love, only for farmers.
Love is important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes you want to narrow it down to wild and casual hookup dating.
Is that what that one is called?
That's what that one's
wild
called.
This
is, I'm kind of blown away by the depth and breadth of the dating choices.
Wait, what's that one with all the cartoons and pictures?
Love Ice Rink Otome Dating Sim Game. Oh, this one?
Yeah.
That's just, I don't know. See, this is the problem I have with the App Store.
Yeah.
They just throw in a random app.
Because the developer's name is Cut and Bump Dating Balls. That's the developer's name. So, obviously, this fits in.
I'm so glad you noticed that.
And pointed it out. We do need you here every week.
Do you know what your glam tier is? Are you a diamond or bronze in the dating market? Find out your glam
diamond,
tier.
Obviously.
Yeah, this is Korean. Tier. There's a lot of this is international.
Yeah.
Wow. It goes on and on and on. I'm not going to tell you some of these. I don't even want to say the name.
Okay, we always talk about Open Table, but way to get restaurant reservations.
Yes.
And
there's actually, you know, it's a little disappointing. It used to be Open Table dominated the market, but now you have to use multiple apps if you want to make a reservation at you know, particular restaurants. Not everybody's on the open table.
Oh, I guess that's true.
But that's what Lisa and I will always use. If we're in a neighborhood and we're looking for a great place to eat, romantic, it's a great choice.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can make a reservation. I mean, if you make your reservation for like 4:30 or 11:30, I think that your Valentine will probably know that you waited until the last
minute. Yeah, probably
so. Keep searching.
There's also Resy, R-E-S-Y, Reserve, Chef's Feed. And lately, our favorite restaurant is only on Yelp. Yelp does reservations as well, too. So you might have to download, as I have, all of them.
All of them in one folder.
If you can't get in a restaurant, you could always make a romantic dinner. I'm a fan of Yumly. You can actually take pictures of the ingredients you have, and Yumly will tell you.
Really?
Yeah, what you could make. Yumly also does a really nice job of narrowing things down. So I told Yumly I want to be keto. My wife and I are both keto. So here's a no-carb pizza. This is a really nice looking cooking app that will listen to you about what your interests are, use an ingredient you have on hand, scan an ingredient using your camera, and then give you choices that match your interest. I actually made keto biscuits from this last night. They were quite good, quite good. So this is a really handy little app, and it's free. Yummly, Yumly, balsamic roasted Brussels sprouts. Doesn't that sound good? Do you like Brussels sprouts?
I do.
I do too.
They got to be cooked just right, though.
That's the key. That's the key.
Brussels sprouts are a little finicky.
Almost burnt, right? That's the key.
Yeah. Little tiny bit of crisp.
Yep.
I like Yumly. I've actually used that on Android.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really well designed. It's very pretty to look at.
Yeah. And I like good. They give you nutrition information. It's got good directions. So you can,
it usually pulls you to a website.
I have, as you can see, I have a lot of cooking apps that I use. New York Times Cooking, Joy of Cooking, Big Oven, Recipe Book. And of course, Epicurious, which I don't know why. Oh, it's on my phone. It's not here. Is really great too. Cook's Illustrated Magazine. So I used to have shelves of cookbooks, which I guess I still do. I didn't throw them out, but honestly, the iPad, and that's why I got this, by the way, because I thought this would be good in the kitchen, this stand, to put the iPad on while I'm cooking.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
So while you are searching around for all your Valentine's Day gifts, maybe you would like to do it more securely, and you can with
ExpressVPN. We love ExpressVPN.
Private shopping.
Private, yeah. Well, you don't want people to know what dating app you're using today.
I was going to say the private shopping.
Yeah. But I mean, honestly, sometimes the biggest spies are not the ones you're most aware of. Sometimes it's just your internet service provider. A VPN protects you. It's a virtual private network. Once you press that, and they're all, by the way, ExpressVPN all has apps for every platform, and it's a one-click turn on. Once you turn it on, all your traffic is encrypted from you to the ExpressVPN server, and they have servers all over the world. It's basically been anonymized. See all the flags? Servers all over the world. It will secure and anonymize your internet browsing by encrypting your data so you can safely surf, not only at home, but on public Wi-Fi. It's number one on Tech Radar, by the way. The number one VPN service, ExpressVPN is the choice. It costs less than $7 a month. And if you go to the ExpressVPN site, ExpressVPN.com/iOS today. I encourage you to read the privacy policy. In fact, before you use any VPN, you got to read the privacy policy. See what information they collect, what they know. ExpressVPN does no logging, collects no information, cannot hand over your online history. So you're protecting it from your ISP. You're protecting it from data resellers. You should use it on your phone. We now know that AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile, they were all reselling data to bounty hunters and other people. ExpressVPN. Right now, you can get a 3-month extra package along with your 1-year subscription, but you have to go to expressvpn.com/iOS today. 3 months free with a 1-year package. ExpressVPN.com/iOS today. I think we've all become aware of the issues with privacy, and I think it's time to protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/iOS today.
All right, before we get to the news, I want you, Jason, to tell us how much you loved using this iPad.
The biggest guy with the littlest iPad.
So you weren't using this one.
No,
you were
I wasn't.
You were using an 11-inch.
Yeah, so I was using the iPad Pro, and I'm sure you know you were using the Pixel Slate on... Uh-oh, my volume is up. Let me turn it down.
In the past, I have to say, you've Megan has enjoyed using... her Android tablets.
Yeah. Well, we never switched tablets before. We just used
phone
used
rather than the Android phone.
Yeah, yeah. I did enjoy,
but this
the
is
Pixel.
A little different because this is a Chrome OS.
Yeah, I mean the thought was that I was using the Chrome OS that supports Android apps for a lot of my productivity here, pretty much my primary device here. And Megan, you have the iPad Pro with the keyboard attachment, so we're like, well, why don't we switch them because they're very similar? And it did not take us. I think both of us would agree. It did not take us very long for us to realize
what a mistake you had made.
That it was really apples to oranges.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like Chrome OS, it's meant for multitasking. It's meant for being in a productive sort of environment layout. Yes, it supports Android apps, but you really probably don't want to run Android apps.
Most
on
Android
it.
Apps aren't very good on it.
They aren't very good. If there's a website component, that's probably what you want to opt for. Using the iPad Pro, like it's a really fantastic tablet. I could not use it in the same way that I use the Pixel Slate on a daily basis, putting together our show notes, constructing it all within the device. Like I really tried, and all it did was slow me down and frustrate me. And so at a certain point, I had to kind of like give up on that, which is what I wanted to commit to, was just using that for everything. And I couldn't do it if I wanted to keep my job here.
Even people who are fans, as I am, of the iPad often feel like, Apple's overselling it as a laptop replacement. Mm-hmm. It isn't.
Well, and I think one of the big kind of, and Megan and I have talked about this a lot, one of the big reasons why people feel that they can actually do that, whereas I probably, you know, couldn't given my normal app usage, is that I use Google's apps, which are fine there, but they're not designed specifically for being productive on the iPad.
What specific issues did you have on iOS with Google Apps that you don't have on other platforms?
Really, the little finicky things, right? Like if I'm pulling up a doc and I want to edit, you know, enter stuff into there and kind of jump around and everything, weird little things would happen. A screen, you know, the keyboard would, you know, pop up and push me out. Of course, having the keyboard attachment made that less of a problem. Just weird little things that would just happen and kind of slow me down, and I would just get frustrated, and they kept happening, and I wish I could give you more concrete examples than that. But working within the dock on a browser where it's designed to be, right? Like Google has made their Google Docs meant to be in a browser with a keyboard and a trackpad. The trackpad was a big, like I felt like I was missing out on having the trackpad.
So even if you opened, you can't put Chrome on iOS. Even if you'd opened Google Drive in Chrome, the lack of a trackpad.
I mean, that would be a bummer for me just because it would slow
me down.
Well,
you could do it though.
You could do it. Absolutely. Yeah. You could make that happen. I just kept getting slowed down.
It's frustrating.
It was really frustrating after a while, and didn't quite enjoy that aspect
of
it.
How about you, Megan?
I had the same experience with like Google Sheets on the iPad. The way I described it on Tech News Weekly, it's like that scene in Gremlins where it's the middle of the night and they're all out and they're just like throwing everything around. It just feels like have no idea, but you can't format things
it's
and all
chaos.
This just, yeah, totally. And you feel like you don't know what it is, and it just must be a gremlin in there. But I did like using the Pixel Slate, and what I learned most.
This is not the Pixel Slate.
No,
this is
the
iPad. We don't have the Pixel Slate here. Would you throw it out the window?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I broke it.
And it landed on my desk, and
so
it's sitting there to this day.
Just to be clear, it's a tablet roughly the same size as the 12-inch, mm-hmm. right? The 12.9-inch iPad, but it has Chrome OS on it, not Android on
right.
it. You can get the Android store, but it's a different operating system designed really around the Chrome browser.
So it's kind of a mess, the difference between the Chrome App Store and the Android App Store, and they're kind of in some middle ground.
Folks mm-hmm. and us on This Week in Google agree that the Android app integration on Chrome OS is far from
it's like last resort. And yeah. And actually, when Megan, when you first got the tablet, you know, that first day, you were like, man, I'm installing all of these apps.
Oh, big mistake.
You know, I was kind of hearing some frustration. I was like, no, don't do that. Just use it for the web.
Most
like,
Android apps don't work well on Chrome.
There's apps on here. Why would I choose not to use the app and to use the website instead? And that's because, like, they're just very different beasts, right? Chrome OS is meant to be used as a browser. Android apps is like a last resort. That service that you want to use doesn't have a website or a good website or whatever, then maybe resort to the app. Well, and that's better than nothing.
The example I always use is there's really photo editing on Chrome OS isn't easy, but Snapseed is available in the Android store and it works fairly well. That's a Google editor, which we actually use on iOS too. And it works fairly well. So you can do some photo editing.
Right. Mm-hmm. You can do a lot. And I liked that it has multi-user support. I love the trackpad. It has two USB ports. So you could charge and connect to a bigger monitor at the same time. I liked all of those things. My biggest thing that I learned from this was that, you know, we throw out the idea of like marzipan, like what if iOS and macOS join together and why do we really need two? But
would you get a delicious almond confection?
You would, yeah. No, you'd probably get a mess, and it makes sense.
Like marzipan.
It's very hard. Like, to me, using the iPad is a completely different experience than using my laptop. I love them both, and I'm lucky to have them both, and I use them both very differently.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine combining them. I feel like you lose too much.
In both cases, the companies that make these devices oversell them a little bit. Google with the Android. Oh, you've got all the Android apps. Yeah, but you're not going to want to use them. Apple saying that the iPad is a laptop replacement. I don't think that's accurate either. I still think of the iPad as an additional device if you already have a iPad or a laptop. Or if you just want to play games and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I do think a Pixel, even the Pixel Slate, which is... I actually have the Pixel Book the previous years, which is really more like a laptop with a built-in keyboard and stuff. Is a usable computer. My daughter uses it in college. It's a laptop. It's just a laptop with constraints.
And what does that actually mean for you? You know, like 95%, 99% of what I do now involves nothing that sits outside of the capabilities of Chrome OS. It's all within a browser. So to me, and the flexibility around multi-users and being able to, you know, feel a little more secure in the integration with my Pixel, like, that works for me. I think one of the big takeaways that I got out of this experience and through using the iPad Pro, realizing about myself just as tablets in general, is that I have very little use in my life for a tablet. Like, I just don't need a tablet in my life. Yeah. And most of the things that I ever need to do are great in Chrome OS, in like a laptop form factor. A Pixelbook is perfectly sufficient for that. It's a great computer.
What do you think of
the
Slate versus the Pixelbook?
I think that I'm using the Slate because it's the latest that Google put out. I think that the form factor of the Pixelbook is more me. Yeah. That's more tailored to me. But I'll continue to use the Slate because between the two, they both do basically
they're
the
similar.
Same thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the OS is the same. And I'm perfectly as productive between both of them.
From a price perspective, if you're comparing an iPad Pro to the Slate, they're fairly close, especially when you add the keyboard. The Slate has one additional feature that... actually, the iPad Pro also has that pencil feature. So they're both $99. So I think they're very comparable. But, of course, you can get much less expensive iPads. iPads go down to $329.
And you can get much less expensive Chromebooks, too.
You can.
That's true. And I mean, and I think that ends up being a really big question is, like, why would I ever spend $1,000 on a Chrome OS laptop, you know, something that's just a Chrome browser?
How much was the one that Megan was using?
So that one, what was it? It was like $899, I think.
Plus the keyboard,
I believe it was right around there. Yeah, which is like another $150.
And the keyboard's expensive. And the pencil, which is another $100. So
she didn't get the pencil. I didn't have
so
that.
So you're a little over $1,000, which is
right around $1,000.
Fairly much the same prices for that. I think certainly for the 12.9, maybe the 11.9 is a little less expensive.
Yeah.
But the screen is the same size. The screen is good. Yeah. The touch is
absolutely
good.
Absolutely.
There are a lot of...
I like having the touch. Yeah. Like, and that's another thing that people are like, well, why do you need touch, you know, when you're on a laptop? I actually do. I use it a lot to kind of scroll. Yeah. During shows, it makes it really easy to kind of navigate through the docs and everything.
If you're in the Macintosh ecosystem, an iPad makes sense. But if you really want to get work done, you'll also want a laptop or desktop Macintosh.
Now, someone like Alex Lindsay would beg to differ as far as that's concerned.
So many people trying to use these as their entire work computer. Yeah. He brings it to the shows.
And he's been active on Twitter. You know, I think you kind of started this conversation or a viewer said.
I said I never knew anyone who used the built-in Mac apps like Pages and whatever, Numbers. And then someone said Alex Lindsay uses.
He loves them. He's recommended them many times. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's kind of built, he's kind of bought into and integrated into his working environment the solution that Apple has created, those kind of first party solutions, which are tailor made for this to work in that environment. And I think that's the big difference between what I did and what Alex Lindsay does. He uses something that's tailor made for it. I was using Google's apps, which while they are fine on iOS, they are not going to allow me to be as productive on iOS as I can be with those apps and services on a Chromebook. So
really, different strokes for different folks. Once you're in an ecosystem, you're probably going to want to stay in the ecosystem. You shouldn't be tempted by looking across the...
Don't allow that OS to woo you.
Right. Well, and you think about all the ways they get us stuck in that ecosystem. Like also, just the new TV app on Apple. I realize, like, TV has become sort of a second job for me. Like, I have so much of it that I have to watch.
I was thinking that the other night. Yeah, you know, I thought, there's three new Netflix shows I've got to see.
Yeah, it's like, so
I've just got to see if they're any good.
Exactly. I have them all organized in the TV app now. You know, like, I have them, and that's where I watch them, and that's where I buy stuff. And so now, if you were going to go to the Google Play Store and buy stuff there, it would be... a mess.
Where Movies Anywhere is a huge
Movies Anywhere benefit. Does help that.
And is that absolutely. On Chrome? You can get that anywhere?
You can get the play movies. Yeah, I mean, through Chrome, you can integrate. Like, Movies Anywhere is an Android app. I don't know if you... But you can go to the website and do all the syncing that you need.
You can watch on the web.
And then it takes your library from one
service.
So
this is a free service. I think it's still owned by Disney. They just took the name off of it. But the idea is all of the places you buy movies... And you see Movies Anywhere at the bottom there, works everywhere. You just sync up your movies, and so there are a few limitations, but in general, a movie you buy on one store will be visible anywhere else, and that's kind of nice. For instance, I buy stuff on Google's store all the time, but it shows up in my iTunes because of Movies Anywhere, so... I think that's really great.
Yeah. Now, if you log out of Movies Anywhere or stop your Movies Anywhere account, do those things disappear
I would
libraries?
Guess they do, yeah. Yeah.
So I guess they do. Lock into Movies Anywhere.
And so there are, I don't know even why that exists. That's the kind of thing that Apple and Google would say, no way you're doing that on our platform. Yeah. But
like, wait a minute, what am I missing?
Disney
here?
Is Switzerland.
Mm-hmm. Few headlines and then we'll move on.
Big headline. Big story.
What's the big
Big story. Okay. Amazon buys Eero.
Oh, yeah. Amazon bought Eero.
Basically, the story is if you advertise on Twit, Amazon will buy you.
Yeah, that is, yeah.
Yep. Because Ring.
That's the takeaway. Mm-hmm.
Blue Apron, did they buy Blue Apron?
No, they haven't bought them yet. No. Who else? There's a couple of companies that Amazon has purchased.
Oh, the magazine one.
Texture Apple bought them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Somebody may buy you.
We will help you get bought if we'll you help advertise. You get bought.
And now Eero. Now, this is a big concern for some people because, Eero... in the past, its privacy policy has said, we don't watch what you're doing, but they do know everything we're doing on our routers. All routers do. And Eero in particular, especially if you use Eero Plus, is really knows every kind of traffic going on. And furthermore, if I launch the Eero app, you'll see a list of all the devices in my house that are on the internet. This is gold for Apple.
Absolutely.
Amazon. Yeah. So I think there's some legitimate cause for concern here. But Amazon says we're going to let Eero run as we have let Ring run as an independent entity. The privacy policy will not change. But we just want a router system that works well with our Amazon Echo and so forth. And there are some synergies that could be great. I mean, it would be wonderful if Eero added voice activation, if Amazon's Echo devices suddenly could be Eero base units. Satellite units. There'd be some really great value to this. So we're going to have to watch. Yeah. But that's a big shocker. Nobody knows how much they paid, but they paid $1 billion for Ring.
Yeah.
So it's probably up there.
Yeah. It's, absolutely. It's a big get.
I hadn't thought about how much information they had because last week we were talking about how you can judge how long a kid has been over at your house because you get the alert that says, a new device has been added to your Eero. Over the weekend, there wasn't even any kid at our house, and I saw a new device was added to our network. And I was like, that's weird. Who's that? I, you know, wanted to check it out. And it was a kid whose parents were dropping them off. Like, they had literally in the car outside and already
I'm fiending.
Must connect to their Wi-Fi
must
network.
Connect.
And
Fortnite.
So that's a big, that's a big deal.
So
I mean, and
know.
We should mention Eero is, of course, a longtime sponsor. I think I did mention that up front in a bitter way. But who else? There's one other company, Audible.
Yeah.
Audible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Amazon continues its acquisitions and Eero, and I hope that they make better. And that's what the Eero founders say. This gives us, they always say that, this gives us the revenue to make our product better.
Lightroom had an update for the iOS and the Mac app. Ooh. I know there's lots of Lightroom.
I saw the update. Is there big stuff in it?
You can share. It's easier photo sharing on the iOS app, and then a lot of AI improvements, whatever that means, on the Mac app. But I know there's a lot of people whose Lightroom is their favorite app. Some rumors about the AirPods 2, but they're from a place called mysmartprice.com, and I don't really know anything about them, but
but it's fun to fun to speculate.
But that they'll look exactly like the old AirPods. If I were in the Apple rumor business, I would come up with like two sites, like mysmartprice and mysmartprice special, and then do the same, like just keep doing rumors that say the
just
exact
self-reinforcing
opposite.
Yeah,
or no, the exact opposite. So one would always be right.
Oh.
Right, like if you
Apple will not put out new AirPods,
they're gonna look exactly like the old AirPods.
They're gonna look totally different
than the so we don't really know anything. And the other big news that I thought was interesting, Apple announced that they're gonna let military veterans access their health info on the iPhone, so their health records. So we already have like some health info, but this is the way I think all of us would want better access to our health records.
You bet.
Keeping them secure is key. So they're starting that with the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, which I think is awesome.
And that's the U.S. Digital Service at work. I bet you. We had Matt Cutts on Twit on Sunday.
Oh, Matt,
the administrator of the United States Digital Service. They did a lot to make the VA websites and the VA internet presence much more usable.
Awesome.
I would expect that has something to do with it. All right.
So where's your home on the web, Jason?
That's a loaded question, Jason. I'll give you a hint. It's on this page right
Let
here.
Me think.
It's on that page.
Where would it be, Megan? Because so much of the internet is on WordPress.
I want to invite you to my home on the web, which is goatswearingclothes.com, powered by WordPress.
What? I didn't know that was your website.
Yeah, Goats Wearing Clothes.
I'm a regular visitor to Goats Wearing Clothes.
That's yours?
That's yours.
Yeah,
you can
get there by going to MeganMaroney.com.
No idea. I'm just LeoLaporte.com, which is kind of boring. But both of us use WordPress.com for a couple of reasons. I've been a WordPress.com user for 12 years. They just sent me a little note, which was kind of cool. Congratulations on 12 years. Actually, it's going on 13 now. That's because when WordPress first came out, I was an immediate user, installed it on a server and did all the customization, spent a lot of time messing around with it. And in fact, I spent more time messing around with my website than I did actually posting content. Then along comes WordPress.com and they take care of it all. They do the hosting. They do the upgrades. They do the software. They have thousands of themes right there, ready to go. All the plugins you'd ever want. Powerful site building tools and 24 hours a day, 7 days a week support from not page-turning notebook readers, but real WordPress experts. That's pretty awesome. And man, the price is right. You can create a WordPress.com site for free, grow with it. Anyone can publish their ideas. No two-week trials, no hidden fees. And here's the most important reason I use WordPress.com. You own your content forever. You own your content forever. You can upload audio, video, text, pictures. And I do, and I put it on the WordPress site, and you can download it again if you want. You're never, you know, in somebody else's world. It's your home on the web. WordPress is simply the best way to create a website for an individual, but also for businesses. In fact, some of the biggest businesses in the world use WordPress.com, Quartz, Fortune Magazine, for their content management system. That's how they post on the net. That's how good WordPress is. WordPress.com. Right now, you can go to WordPress.com/twit and save 15% off any new plan. 15% at WordPress.com/twit. There's one other percent we should mention. 33% of all the internet, all of it, runs on WordPress. One third. WordPress.com/twit. 15% off. I think you're going to really like it. Are there pictures of goats wearing clothes?
Nope.
Well, that's disappointing.
Oh, kind of oversold
that.
Work on that. Yeah.
I know. It is. Well, I was inspired
it's okay.
to buy
you don't
the
have
domain.
To explain it.
And then I had to use it.
So, Megan Maroney, I bet you we have some questions from our vast listening audience.
We do. In fact, we do. We have a question just for Jason. But before we get to that, do you remember last week we talked about Animoji?
Yes.
And we talked about how we didn't like to use it very often because it gave that those weird mouth sounds like. Mm.
Yes. And we wondered if there was a way to make an Animoji silent in silence.
Yes. And JC sent us a video on how.
Let's see.
Click on the Animoji.
Yeah. He's in messages.
Oh. Either hit the record button in the bottom right.
Yeah.
Or if I just tap the face itself.
Yeah.
It takes a snapshot of it, and then I can send that.
Okay.
That's it. That's what I did for you before.
That's a snapshot.
Yeah. Oh, so you can turn the sound off.
There's no sound on a snapshot.
Oh, no. Yeah, there's no sound on the snapshot. You can't turn the sound off.
So this is another thing we were wondering, which is how could you just send a single frame of the emoji?
Yeah, just a single
tap
frame.
It.
And also, you aren't sending sound at that point. So.
Right, exactly.
Great.
So
it answers both
but it's
questions.
Not animated.
Right.
So that's why you sent me this.
Right, that is why.
That is, Megan, no motion at all.
Yeah.
And silence.
Still,
well, it's just
Megan.
Me with a green face. That's kind of my puking emoji for you.
Yeesh.
Whenever you say something.
Are you a little witch there?
No, I'm just feeling green. Or maybe that's my envious emoji. Who knows? Patrick writes, I have two things missing since I switched from iOS to an LG smartphone. First, I am really missing Drafts 5. Do you have any recommendations of Android apps that have the same functionality?
Nope.
Second, I am missing the battery widget that will tell the Bluetooth device Tell me the Bluetooth device battery. Do you have any suggestions for something similar on Android?
So you're saying nope. And this is where, like, I'm not super duper familiar with Drafts 5. Like, I did some reading up on it, and I was like, oh, okay. So something like Evernote, Google Keep, JotterPad.
No, no.
But what does Drafts 5 do that's different?
And honestly, it's kind of a kludgy idea. It really is a way to enter text fast and then send it to Evernote or messages or something else. So as you can see, I find it so important. I keep it in my dock here.
Yeah,
I can dictate, remind me to get Jason a larger iPad. And so, oops, how do you stop? Okay.
Oops. How do you stop?
Let's just delete that part. Now, that's going to be saved to my drafts. I have a lot of drafts. Remind me to get Jason a larger laptop. One of them, move hair appointment, call Culligan. This is a reminder that there's a band I want to see on March 15th. Then, once you do that, you can process these by sliding in on the right. And this is why I don't think there's anything on Android that works like this. You can send it to to-dos. You can actually create operations, programmatic operations that are more sophisticated as well. It is really a powerful tool for letting you basically quickly enter text. And you know where I find it useful? If you remember, I don't know if you ever did the getting things done methodology, but at the very beginning, the first thing you do is just dump everything that's stuck in your mind, that's stuck, you know, holding you up. You just dump it into a trusted system. And that's kind of what Drafts is a trusted place. And because I can use it on my Apple Watch, I have a little Drafts logo here. I'm telling you, get Jason a bigger iPad. I can enter it right from my watch. It goes right into here. And see, it's already in my phone. They also now have a Macintosh beta that they're trying out, and they have an iPad version of it as well. In fact, it's everything that I've told you here is all there. So I can now move my hair appointment. That's going to go into my to-dos. By the way, one of the other things that's great about it, once you process it, it goes away.
It goes away. You've
done
it.
It's done.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's put somewhere. It's processed. So I use Android like you. I'm an Android fan. I have never found anything as powerful as this. And I think it really wouldn't exist on iOS except for the guy who wrote it, who just said, you know, this is crazy, but I'm going to write something crazy. And Drafts is one of those weird things.
And it's not a new app. I mean, it's
been around a long time.
Five versions.
Yeah,
really surprising to me that no one on the Android side, as usually happens, says, wow, this is a really unique thing over
there. There's no reason you couldn't do it on Android. Yeah. It is, you know, you're right. Evernote, you know, you can dump stuff into Evernote, but that's just a note-taking app. This right. way you can dump it. There's even scripting, so you can have it do more elaborate things as well with your text.
And
so.
it looks like it's designed to jump in and do the thing quickly. Sometimes
right.
with Evernote is a prime example.
Right.
It does so many things and it's really powerful, but sometimes you want it to get there faster. Or, you know yeah. what I mean?
Well, and Google
it's not
Keep,
tailor-made
I,
for one thing. It's tailor-made
Keep
for everything.
In kind of the same way, but Google Keep is more like iOS's Notes app. It's just a note-taking app.
Right. Quick and dirty. There,
as far as I know, and I've looked, I haven't found anything like Drafts.
Interesting.
What about the battery life?
So the Bluetooth battery, I'm guessing that Patrick might not be looking in the right place for it because it should exist. As of Android Oreo, I think it was like the second update of Android Oreo, Google built in the ability for the OS to surface the battery level of a Bluetooth device that's connected to it if that Bluetooth device is actually broadcasting the battery level. That's an essential component.
That's a key. And that's one thing Apple has an advantage because Apple is able to have everything work together, right? And this information tends to be all Apple devices.
A little bit lost. So this is the Pixel 3, of course. If I go down to my settings, you can see there's my Bluetooth button.
And underneath, you can see the Aftershock
Trex Air by Aftershock,
60%
battery. So, and you know, he's mentioning a battery widget, which I mean, that's added to the widget screen in iOS. So I don't know if this necessarily is
that's very much
elegant.
Like a widget. No,
I mean,
that's the same thing.
But it's a couple of swipes and you get to it. So you should be able to find it in your quick settings.
It's the same idea on iOS. You swipe over and you're going to get all the battery things like that. So I think that. I didn't even know that Android would do that. If you have a compatible device that's broadcasting its battery life.
Yeah, it has to actually be telling broadcasting it in some way. But it should be possible, depending on your phone, though. Android is such a vast canyon of devices and configurations. Who knows? But I would say check there. Look in your quick settings. You should be able to find
reach down and get my pencil. But if you put your pencil on here, it will immediately add it to the batteries.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
If you open your AirPods, it will immediately add it to the batteries. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't necessarily show. I'll have to try it with Aftershocks because it doesn't necessarily show anything that's not Apple in there, right?
Oh,
it's just Apple stuff.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Aftershocks is our sponsor.
We're going to talk about them in a minute. But,
we are.
Yeah, that's why we all have ours.
Mm-hmm.
Put mine on right now.
Well, once we've answered all the questions.
Okay.
We answered all the questions.
Yeah. Put them away. I mean, yeah.
No, you don't have to put them away. You can wear them.
All right, so Brian has a question we might not be able to answer, but I promised him we would, so we have to come up with an answer somehow. He says, I'm a truck driver, and instead of a TV in my truck, my goal is to get an iPad Pro. I am also trying to watch my entire DVD Blu-ray collection. Is there a solution to hook up an external Blu-ray drive to an iPad? And I made sure to confirm with Brian, he's not watching while he's driving. It's when he's overnight.
I'm not going to judge him.
At a truck stop.
So there isn't. I'll tell you right now, because iOS doesn't have drivers for something like a Blu-ray player, but what most iOS users will do if they want to take a lot of movies with them is they'll digitize those movies at home. So take all your Blu-ray discs, Brian, and use a program that will turn them into bits. You know, I like Handbrake. That's a free one. But because they're copy protected, you'll have to jump through some more hoops. I'll let you leave that as an exercise for you, but a simple Google search will give you a lot of choices there. And once you've converted it to like an MP4 file, there are a lot of storage devices for iOS. Now, remember when the iPad came out with the Type-C adapter, the first thing we did was said, well, can we just plug in any USB drive? And you can't. You have to get a device that's designed for playing back movies on an iPad, but there are quite a few of them, and what they all have is an application that takes over, and you run the application, it sees the external drive, and then it will play back any movies that are on it. Because there is, again, no driver. Unlike a standard desktop operating system, Apple doesn't give you drivers for every possible thing, and you can't install your own drivers. So what will happen, this is an example. This is the Kingston Bolt. It's a USB lightning-based, but there are companies that make them Type-C-based. Flash memory stick. You put all your movies on that. You plug it in. Then you'll run the Kingston software on your iPad, and you'll be able to play those movies back. So even though the iPad doesn't have direct support for storage, it does have the ability to play back movies that are on those USB devices if they're designed for that. So make sure you get one that's designed for iOS.
So Movies Anywhere isn't a solution for this.
Well, streaming is always a solution. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's another thing. In fact, most Blu-ray discs now come with a digital copy that you can add to movies. I think you can add to Movies Anywhere. I think it'll add your own stuff. And if not, you could just put it on one of those external drives. If you want to carry something with you, and I take it that's what you want, because you want to take a Blu-ray player with you, right? You can't do that, but you can do a USB hard drive that has all your movies on it.
So if you're ripping a Blu-ray, does it appear to look like Blu-ray when you watch it on your iPad?
It's your choice. I will leave that to your Google search.
Okay.
But when you rip a DVD or a Blu-ray, there's two ways to do it. One, you can just get the movie and re-encode it and make it as small as possible. The other way to do it is to rip the entire contents of the disc, which includes the menu structure, the index, and all that stuff. If you do that, I haven't tried that with these devices. It does take a lot of space, but the other issue is whether the software on these devices will know enough to say, oh, I see the Blu-ray.
All right,
menu structure. Let me play it back.
Yeah.
Certainly on a desktop, you can do that. I'm going to guess, and you'll have to, again, this is going to require doing research in terms of finding an appropriate device. There's lots of them, as you can see. These are all drives that work to play back movies on a iOS device in conjunction with their software. But you're going to have to check to see if their software will play back the full menu structure of the Blu-ray. And, of course, you'll have to have some program that will rip the Blu-ray disc. And these discs are heavily copy protected. So, mm-hmm. But they're out there. They're available.
And can you put them in your files folder? Like that's...
No. I don't think you want to, for one thing, because they're so big.
Okay.
Could you copy them over? That's an interesting question. My guess is no. There's no way to play them back. That's a really interesting question. I don't know. You could if you're connected to a computer, of course. You put all the ripped Blu-ray discs in iTunes, and then absolutely you copy them over and you can watch them on your iPad. Of course, there's a lot of storage. You these discs, it's 9 gigabytes per Blu-ray disc, mm-hmm. in some cases more. So,
is this something easier to do on Android?
Yes.
I would say that Android is probably a little bit more forgiving as far as file formats and everything. You could probably find an app. VLC is just one example.
Could play a Blu-ray disc, though.
No, you're right. I'm thinking of the file format.
There's something called USB to Go that allows you to see storage devices on most Android devices. And most Android devices support USB to Go. You should, again, you'll have to check your device. But I don't think USB to Go supports Blu-ray players.
I think it's one of those things, your mileage may vary, you know what I mean? There's probably some hardware out there that purports to do it, but that doesn't always necessarily mean you're going to get the results that you're looking for. You know, there's so many different variations of hardware and everything, and Android purports to do a lot of things. And then you get down to it, and like, wait a minute. Almost.
I think Western Digital, Seagate, I think many of these hard drive companies made devices.
Seagate did.
iOS.
I remember there was a Seagate external.
That was the way to do it back in the day.
Absolutely.
Nowadays, everybody streams, right?
Right.
Yeah.
All right. We have one more question. Mark wants to know about the two-factor authentication codes that he sometimes gets on the device he's currently using. So here,
I know, isn't that funny?
And I thought this was really fascinating because I've seen this too, and I'm like, well, they're just coming into my device.
Right.
And so I did some research, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but this two-factor is protecting your iCloud account. It's not protecting the device itself. So if someone wants, so first, before you get to this two-factor authentication screen, you would have had to already enter your password. So someone would have to have your device and your password, and if they did, then they would get into your iCloud account. But it's really protecting someone from breaking in remotely, which is where most hackers try to break into your
iCloud. It is a little weird that when you're setting up a new device, that the authentication code is sent to the device you're setting up.
Right.
But that's because you've already authenticated that device. Apple only send this 6-digit code to other Apple devices on your iCloud
account. That you've marked as secure.
And you've already authenticated.
Right, you've marked them as secure. So if you lose a device, then you want to go in and mark it as insecure, right?
It feels like, though, if a bad guy got your device and then tried to log in and said, what's the code? And it sent the code to the device, that would kind of give the bad guy
a little
improved access.
But you would need the password in
order
to
get into the device in the first place. That's
yes,
right.
And have the password in that case. And so this is what I think. I mean, the point is that this is made to protect your iCloud account and not the device. But also, it makes it look a little insecure. I mean, we're not the only ones who've thought that. So, I mean, that kind of attitude
leads to
people being like, why do I turn on two-factor at all? I'm not going to turn it on anything.
I can tell you why. It sends it to every Apple device that's registered to the iCloud that's currently available to it. And the reason is if you only have one Apple device.
Right. And you might,
you're not going to get it anywhere else. That's the only place you can authenticate it.
Right.
So it just sends it to everything.
Right.
But it is confusing, I agree. Yeah. I get confused when I see that, too.
And I would just hate for it to lead people to think, well, then, you know, two-factor is too much of a pain if it's just going to send it. And then this is different than two-factor on your Amazon account or your Netflix account. Those are all very different.
It does add security. You should use it. And the other thing I think you really have to trust, and I'll tell you, I'll give you an authority higher than me, Steve Gibson. I've asked him, you know, why is Apple always asking me for my password and stuff? And he said, I don't always know, but I always presume because Apple's security guys are so good that they're aware of a potential threat and they're handling it. Mm-hmm. So he said it isn't the case that they're overdoing it or, in your case, underdoing security. They're very good. And if they're doing it that way, it's for a reason and you can trust Apple that it's secure. And Gibson says that. So thank you, Steve.
Now it is time for us to
talk about
these. Our
aftershocks. We all have aftershocks.
We do. I have the so red funny. Ones. We all have the different color. I have the red, you have the blue, and you have the gray.
So aftershocks, these, I have to say, I was a little skeptical when I first heard about these. Do you remember the old bone phones? None of you were old enough. But in the 70s, there were headphones that you put around your shoulders. They'd said bone conductance. And I bought one, and it sounded like... Well, we've come a long way. Like with all the technology we're using these days, we've come a long way. Aftershocks are absolutely the best open-ear headphones for talking on the phone, for listening to music, when you're working out. Anytime you don't want to put something in your ear. So if you're a runner and you put in, you know, your headphones in your ear, you're going to miss it if it's cars coming up behind you. It's very important to have situational awareness. Aftershocks are great for that. They rest gently outside. I don't know if you can see this, but I have in-ear headphones on. So my ear is already occluded by these. Frankly, I've been trying to figure out how I could use the aftershocks instead. You see, it's not going into your ear. It's on your temple right here. Mm-hmm. It uses bone conductance. And it sounds great. The bass is actually better. Sometimes if I have something with a lot of bass, have you experienced this? It'll tickle?
Yes. It gives you a little tickle.
It's like, wow, there's a lot of bass in there. But yesterday, I'll give you an example. Yesterday, I had to make a video call for about an hour on my Macintosh. I tried and tried to get my AirPods working. It was just a pain in the butt. I said, wait a minute. And I got the aftershocks out. Turned them on, paired right to the thing, and I forgot I was wearing them within 30 seconds. Yeah. And it doesn't look bad either, right? It doesn't look weird. I love these aftershocks. They are titanium, so that's that wraparound band. I actually really like this too, unlike other devices that don't, like the AirPods that aren't connected. These have a titanium band connecting them. Has two features. One, it kind of positions it properly on your ear, but the other, it just makes you feel more secure. I can run. I can work out with these. It's lightweight. It's flexible for durability and portability. And man, the microphone sounds great. The phone calls sound great. Music sounds great. And I wear it all the time for listening to audiobooks while I'm exercising. It's wireless Bluetooth 4.1. As you saw, I'm like blown away. You can see the battery level on Android. I haven't seen that on iOS, but it's sending the battery level back, which is cool. It's also IP55 certified. So sweating it. If you can take it, your aftershocks can take it. 6 hours of continuous music and calls on a single charge, 10-day standby time. Charges very fast, about an hour and a half, and it's got a 2-year warranty. I was skeptical when I got these. I never part with them. I think, by the way, they come with a nice case. Can you explain to me, because they also come with earplugs.
Yes.
Why?
Because in putting the earplugs in, it isolates you from outside.
Oh.
And B, you end up getting better kind of low end response.
Oh.
Once you put in earplugs.
Oh, that's interesting.
Try it next time, and you get it closer to sounding like in-ear earbuds.
So not when you're running.
Right.
No.
Don't do that while you're running. But it's designed for if, like, say you're flying, you know, you're on an airplane.
Oh, you want it to be quiet.
You want to close out you don't want all the noisy cabin, noise.
And by the way, these are safe for,
sound gets
not
better.
Only for running and hiking, but for driving, too. Of course, you should check your local laws. But you're hearing the ambient sounds. You're hearing police sirens.
Yeah.
You're hearing voices. I
big
like that.
Plus. Absolutely. Don't isolate yourself.
It's not as antisocial, frankly. I wear these around the house. And they're so comfortable, I just kind of leave them on all the time. And it's not antisocial because you can have normal conversations. Mm-hmm.
While you're listening to our podcast.
While I'm listening to iOS Today. So you can order this Aftershocks tech bundle right now. I think this is a great way to go. We're going to get you $50 off. It includes the Trex Air, the headphones we're wearing right now, plus a pop socket for your phone, a large portable storage case. You get a portable power bank and a travel tumbler insulator. Aftershocks. Did you get that? iostoday.aftershocks.com and use the code iostoday at checkout. You will get $50 off. Oh, boy. Now I'm going to get another set. Oh, boy. This is valid. I'm sorry to say in the U.S. only. I got an email from somebody in Britain. Said, I want to buy these. But the offer code's only for the U.S. iostoday.aftershocks .com. And use the code iostoday to get $50 off. As you can see, we are all big fans and big nerds.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a zoo here.
It is.
I will describe it for those of you who are listening. Megan is wearing a panda hat,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, I got when Panda was playing for the San Francisco Giants. That's from
was playing on the Giants?
Yeah, he was great, too. That is a tiger hat. It looks like a Tigger hat, mm-hmm. to be honest, that Jason is wearing.
It's mm-hmm. adorable. Do I tie this? Is this what I do?
Only if you really want to look silly.
I untie.
Oh, otherwise.
Yeah.
Just, normal.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. That's normal.
Now that I know.
Now that you know. And I am wearing a dinosaur hat, I think. What is this, you think? You have to tell me because I'm wearing it. I can't tell.
I think it's a dinosaur.
I think it's a dinosaur.
Yeah. I'm going to go with dinosaur.
Or lizard. Thunder lizard.
Yeah.
Or green chicken.
Yes.
Could be that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's these it's
or
these,
Koopa or I yeah Koopa. I don't know, you could be a number of things.
It's
actually.
These teeth that I don't really.
Yeah, I thought those were tears.
They are. They're tears.
Okay, so Jason, we're wearing hats now.
Would you know why, Jason?
I don't know why. Why? What's
because our heads were cold.
Yes, and because it's AppCap time.
Oh, that makes sense.
And you can start.
Oh, I get to start.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you need sound?
Yes. Well,
minor.
Here, I'll go ahead and grab, because this is a really old.
You can use a headphone,
iPad. Look at that.
I can just drop it into here. Okay, so so I did a search in your doc, and I came up with one of my favorite apps of last year, and I realized that it wasn't in the doc, and then, Megan, you told me right before the show, you shattered my dreams mm-hmm. and told me that Hidden Folks has been featured in some way.
I don't
on
remember
iOS
it.
Today.
See, I told you not to mention it. I told you he wouldn't remember.
Okay. I don't remember that.
Well,
what is Hidden Folks?
So Hidden Folks is like a seek and find game. And I think what I love about it is its simplicity and its cuteness. Like the sounds in it.
So it's like black and white line drawings,
exactly.
But there's things
where's
moving
Waldo?
Around in it. It's Where's Waldo, but they're little. Is this Lucy? This is Lucy's game. Right?
Lucy didn't play this as much. Savannah, my 5-year-old, she's definitely more into this.
But you've
got
of the
all
cute
your different,
sounds.
Different little clues down here. All the sounds are made by like some person going me 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 me, you know, and stuff like that. So it's just got a really cute kind of sound environment, and you just kind of search through and try and find things. So,
and you can pinch and zoom too. Did you know that?
Yeah, you can go in. You can go out. This is a pretty basic. This is like the first level. And as you interact with things, they kind of jump around. They fall away. And you're just trying to See, there's someone hiding behind there. Oh, hey, I found Explorer Garland.
Yay. Does that mean you win the game?
No, I got to find these other things. Oh. I got to find the snake. Kiki the monkey. I found Kiki the monkey. That's
I like
good.
The sounds. Yeah. That's why Savannah likes it. The sounds.
Yeah, it's cool.
Cute.
That's why I like it.
Yeah, Savannah. Daddy likes it.
Yeah, this is cool.
It's nice to have a game that dads can play with their kids.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like, it is a seek and find game, obviously, and like when as an adult was the last time that you played something like that. But I think the art style lends it so that it
like
also kind of has just kind of a modern game feel to it. It's really got a nice, very intricate line drawing kind of style to it. And as you get into other levels, they're a lot larger, so you can zoom out, and this whole thing is just filled with detail. And it's just a lot of fun. It's called Hidden Folks. I think it's $3.99. And it's just kind of delightful. Delight is the word that I feel when I play
Garland.
This game.
Love that.
Hidden Folks.
And there's no on Android. There's no Hidden Folks on Android?
There is.
Oh.
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
Good.
Actually, tonight's guest on All About Android is Chuki Chan. Mm-hmm. She is a Android developer. And actually, you're going to be on tonight as well, Megan. So you will meet Chuki Chan. But she featured this when she was on last time. And I've just loved it ever since.
Look
you can
at that.
See kind of things get a lot more intricate.
Yeah.
And you're really
I can see adults
around.
Playing this, actually.
Absolutely. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Is it as delightful on Android as it is on iOS?
They're equally delightful, Megan. I have no idea where you're trying to take this.
I just always
they're actually identical.
Yes.
to be honest, they're exactly the same.
It's not a whole lot of variation.
Yeah.
So, do you know what I've become rather fond with lately?
What?
Android.
Newsletters.
Oh.
I know, it's shocking.
Twit.tv/subscribe.
Yes. Well, I have a, I also do Inbox Zero, as you know, like I like to keep. And so I find that newsletters, while I like them.
They fill up your.
They fill, yes.
Yeah.
And so I thought, what if there was an app that would just be newsletters, sort of like one of the old reader apps, but for newsletters? Because a lot of people, like I love our newsletter. I love Kevin Rose's newsletter. There are so many different newsletters, like people that I just enjoy. Maybe it's not even a specific topic, but they come up with, they sort of find the web. I know it's old fashioned, but I like it. So there is an app. It's called Stoop. And here it is, Stoop.
Stoop.
So I can, here are all the newsletters that I've subscribed to, and I can.
How do you get them in there?
You want me to show you?
Yeah.
Here's a plus. I get a plus. I'm going to add a newsletter. So I could go through popular topics.
I need this.
New to Stoop.
Because I don't want to really
reads.
Jam my email with newsletters.
No, you don't. So marketing but good. I like this. They're going to sell you something the
but
new old-fashioned way.
But it's okay.
So like, for example, Unsplash. We've talked about Unsplash before. They're the website that has free high-res photos that you can use, and then they're delivered right to your inbox. I really like that. So I've already subscribed to that. Let me see.
I'm getting this right now because there are many newsletters I want to subscribe to, but I don't want to jam my inbox.
Right. So let's and there's paid newsletters too.
Can you add one arbitrarily, or does it have to be in the Stoop index?
You can add one arbitrarily, but I think you have to do something. I think because I looked, and I'm not sure that we have. I think the newsletter creator has to do something on there because I didn't find
we're not in there.
So I'm going to talk to Patrick about it to get us in there. But you can, like, if you have a topic. Tech. Well, it's going to show me all these, like, but you could, yeah, as long as the person has added it, you can, ask Leo. Where's that?
Yeah, it's some other Leo.
Oh, that's Leo Nottenboom?
Yeah.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
Some other, why is anyone asking anybody but you this?
I don't know. I'll never understand.
You know, do you, like Ben Thompson.
Oh, I see how you do it. When you want to subscribe. So when you signed up for Stoop, you got a special stoopinbox.com address.
Yes.
So you could subscribe.
Yes,
you could go to any newsletter and subscribe. Yeah. I got Leo Laporte at stoopinbox.com.
Right. And
which,
then you,
by the way, now that I've given that out, is going to make this useless because wags in the audience will immediately subscribe me to a bunch of newsletters I don't want to read. So I'll use some other email address.
Yeah, use some. So yes, that is true. But then it also makes it. So let's say, you know what? I am not going to read this parenting newsletter. I don't care. I can just, archive it and it's gone. And then I go on to the next one, the Product Hunt newsletter. And so here also what I like, it'll tell me how many episodes, how many issues I have unread. And you can set it, say, like, if I have 5 unread issues of Tasty Make Ahead Meal Plan from BuzzFeed, I don't want that anymore. If I haven't read 5, I'm never going to read them. So it just makes them disappear, which is nice. Your
this
email
is awesome.
Will do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really like it. And you can see the icons over here. So like I have the wire cutter and you can unsubscribe through here too. So it's called Stoop. It is free.
$10 if you want a year, if you want some premium features like a dark UI, support for Pocket and Instamat paper and things like that. But
and then, yeah, you can.
No ads.
Or like you can also get notifications, start a discussion. So like let's say I want to say to Jason, look what I found in the Product Hunt newsletter. This robot startup just raised $940 million.
I finally have somewhere I can subscribe to newsletters and it won't jam up my email.
Right.
Plus, it's a nice, it looks nice.
Mm-hmm. It does really look nice.
Because I don't, for one of the things, I don't use HTML in my emails. I think that's dangerous. Mm-hmm. I discourage people, everybody from doing that because it allows you to put malicious content into an email. Mm-hmm. So mine's text only, which means most newsletters really don't look very good.
Right.
But this way I could put it in my Stoop and read it in my Stoop.
Yeah. Read it in your Stoop. And I don't care. I'm going to read you. I'll meet you on the Stoop.
Because newsletters are kind of like the new podcast or the new blog.
People are crazy. I've been thinking about starting my own. Everybody
own
wants
newsletter.
To do newsletters.
Right. I mean, if this thing doesn't work out, this whole podcast network, you'll have the newsletter.
You know why I didn't? Because again, you got to write something.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, you.
Remember when everybody was starting their blogs?
Yeah.
And 6 months later, their blogs had an update 4 months ago. And
yeah.
So the key to this is actually going back to the Stoop. Because you don't want it to turn into an Instapaper or paper or all those things, which you just, I'm going to save that to read for later. And you never do.
I love this. That's good.
Time for your Stoop.
I just paid for premium. Love it. Nice pick. Megan Maroney, Stoop.
Stoop. Hey, don't be stupid. Get Stoop.
Hey, there's an Android version. I just noticed.
Is there?
Good.
Nice.
Maybe I should bring that to the... I have another one tonight for the App Arena. I'm not going to bring Stoop.
So let me give you the information first on this. This is, again, Jason Snell recommended it last week on MacBreak Weekly. This is from ClearLook, ClearLook. And it's $35.99 on Amazon. And I have to say, it's solid aluminum. It's got a heavy base. It's extendable. You can tilt the angle. And it will hold. It's not just for the iPads or iPhones. It will hold almost any device. And even actually, which is nice, holds an iPhone with a case on because it's pretty flexible. It's got nice soft rubber holders. So I like that idea.
Yeah,
and
nice.
If, you know, it really would be, I got this for the kitchen so I can look at recipes. And have it kind of off the counter and not get flour all over my iPad. Now, that's not my pick, though. My pick is kind of fun. It's a throwback. When I first started doing photography back in the day, we didn't have digital. We had film. And if you really were into it, and I hope some of you did this, I know some high schools still teach it, you went into the darkroom to develop your negatives. And then to print them, you'd have a big enlarger. So there's a new darkroom app that I think really is fun because it will, for many people, bring back memories of working in the darkroom. And for younger people, kind of, I think you can learn more about photography using this. It's called Darker, D-A-R-K-R, and it's black and white. You have a choice. If you pay for it, you have a choice from large format, medium format, pocket camera. Or we can go right into the darkroom. Shall I add a negative?
Yeah.
Okay. As soon as I can figure out how. There we go. Now, this is this funny thing. This is my photo. These are all my photos, and they're negatives. So this is from my Apple photo roll, but they're negatives. So let me pick something that would be kind of fun to turn into a black and white image. Okay. So that is a negative. That is not the positive of it.
I like
it. So the first thing you have to do is you have to develop it, right? And you can choose what kind of film you're going to be using. Now, this is going to, John and other people who ever worked with film will love this. Ilford 125 or 400 ISO. Oh. They've got Ilford color film. They have a variety. Oh, I guess not. My favorite, of course, Tri-X. There we go. Tri-X had a nice grain to it. So I'm going to choose the film. And then I can use the scanned negative. The darkroom will handle it as a real negative. So that's actually pretty nice. That looks good as Tri-X film. And then I can go into the darkroom. Get ready for this.
Yeah.
I printed, remember doing this?
Yes.
A test strip with different exposures. Then we're going to pick the exposure we want.
You put your iPad in the solution?
Do not put iPad in the solution.
Oh, then it would be real.
Is it IP rated?
Now, sometimes you probably noticed in the darkroom, you'd get something that had maybe was a little too bright in some areas. Remember how you would do that? You would dodge it.
Mm-hmm.
So we can also have it. We have a dodge tool that will darken areas by painting on them. You also have a burn tool. Most images have a bit too much contrast. Actually, the other way around. Dodge, you're blocking the light, right? So that means you're making it. I can never remember these, but this would help you remember it. So every image has a baseline where the whole image gets the same amount of light, but in a real dark room, you burn with your hands. Sometimes people would have a little stick with a little piece of something on it. So you can add light to the base exposure, and that will make the area darker. So we're going to darken stuff by creating a mask. What's nice is they explain this process all. So this is, in some ways, this is a trip down memory lane. But in other ways, it's also a kind of tool that I think a lot of photographers who've only worked in digital might get some ideas for how they want their images to look. And by the way, at the end, you can get some really great black and white images. So I think this is a lot of fun. There's also patching. You can do gradients. Really, and then the results, by the way, are, I think, quite excellent. Some of the black and white images, you could change the tone. We could do a selenium shot, or we can do sepia. I have to fix the exposure on this. This is clearly too bright, so I picked the wrong base for my strip. So I have to go back to the test strip and maybe even turn up the enlarger and get it a little bit darker here. But you get the idea. This is really fun. So there's tutorials for everything. So, and it is all black and white. So you can learn how to work in a darkroom. This is, it's expensive, time consuming, and the chemicals are pretty nasty working in a darkroom. I think this would be kind of cool to give to a teenager.
Yeah.
Say, back in the day.
Yeah, I was on the yearbook in eighth grade. Spent a lot of time in the darkroom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of magic happened in that darkroom.
I think it's cool, and I love it that it turns everything into a negative. So you start with a negative. You will want to pick your pictures carefully. Not all pictures look great in black and white. Mm. But if you pick a good image, these are all portraits. This would be a good image, maybe my bicycle. This is Burke working on my So that's the negative, right? So I'm going to choose the film. The nice thing about the higher ISOs are grainy. The lower ISOs, like this is a Kodak. Wow, this is fascinating. And that's after I scan it. That's what I'm gonna. That's the simple one. But we're not gonna use a scanner. No, we're gonna go to the darkroom and print a test strip. I like it dark. I do. You like that? Yeah, that looks
good.
There
we go.
Now we're cooking. Popping. Now, and maybe I'm gonna blur some of this stuff here and. And we're gonna play with this a little bit. Let's turn up the blur. Whoa, you get the idea. DARKR. If you want to buy all of the features, you can use it for free. But if you end up wanting to buy all the features, it's I think $3.99. It's not very expensive, and it's not for bad. Life. Isn't that fun?
Love it.
Wow, you got three app caps today. Three silly people in animal hats.
We did it, you guys. We finished a show.
We finished a show. I made a show.
Wow. Is this the first time?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Usually I get too drunk and fall off the stool.
Yep, usually. Megan at twit.tv. You can find me there and ask questions. And you can also find me at All About Android tonight.
Tonight. That's exciting.
We're here all day.
We're pushing the whole schedule because I came in late. So you'll get on about 7 or 8 in the evening. Don't
okay,
worry
great.
About it.
Yeah. Great. Get home around midnight. Sounds good.
No. We'll get back on track. That's 5 p.m. Eastern.
5 p.m. Pacific. Yeah. Until about 6:30, 7-ish, right around there.
And it's always a good time if you want to see how the other half lives.
You'll be there for at least 5 hours tonight. I didn't tell you that, and I'm sorry.
Okay. Wow. Fill out our survey, too. Let us know what you think.
twit.to/survey19. Somebody sent me an email saying, what's that survey link? And Colleen sent them the official long link. It's ridiculous. Just, it's easy. We got a short version. twit.to/survey19 for 2019. We do this once a year just to get a better idea of who you are. We're not collecting personal information. We only look at it in aggregate. We don't keep track of anything about you personally because we understand. In fact, that's the reason we do it this way. We don't want to collect data about you throughout the year. Advertisers do want to know some things, so we ask some simple questions, and it's completely voluntary. twit.to/survey19. Are we done?
I think we're done.
Woo! We appreciate you joining us. We do iOS Today every Tuesday morning, supposedly around 9 a.m. Pacific. Start a little later today. That's noon Eastern, 1700 UTC. Stop by. Watch it live at twit.tv/live or listen live. Or download an on-demand version from our website, twit.tv/iOS. Best of all, subscribe. You can subscribe in any podcast app. Just search for iOS Today, and that way you'll get a copy the minute it's available every Tuesday evening. Thanks, Jason. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you for allowing me to block your screen for just one day.
Actually, it's a good thing. Kevin always puts stuff up there. Thank you, Megan, and thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time on iOS Today. Okay, Jason, now we all throw our hats.
Okay.
Woo!